would just like to take this opportunity to welcome everyone to Lutho this evening, as today we embark on a great milestone in regarding this ministry that was started, as today we celebrate our first year anniversary. It was this time last year on June 5th, Tuesday, that we had started our first Lutho prayer teleconference. And since then, we have been having weekly prayer teleconferences, and we've only missed a total of 2 weeks, and this is actually our 50th time that we are gathering since last year. And I just wanted to take this opportunity to thank God Almighty for his love and care towards us and being able to establish this ministry under the leadership of the Prayer Fellowship and Mission Forum, especially Reverend Father K.Y. Wilson, who serves as the director. And also all of those who have volunteered to lead the prayers and all of those who have volunteered their time to lead the devotional messages, and most importantly, for each and every one of you who are joined here this evening, who continually call in and show your support and love and care towards this ministry. And I hope and pray that this will be an opportunity for us to grow. Special thank you to our beloved Diocese and Metropolitan, His Grace Mar Eusebius, especially to many for joining us despite your busy schedule this evening, and especially blessing us on the occasion as we celebrate and as we thank God for this past 1 year of blessings, especially as we have begun this Lutho prayer teleconference.
This Lutho prayer teleconference, which is the weekly prayer fellowship, especially we started for the English-speaking kids, has been a tremendous help for those who have dialed in faithfully over this Tuesday evening. Every Tuesday evening, the efforts of the archons, the deacons, the seminarians in making this prayer teleconference a success is to be commended. And I appreciate all of you who find time to attend this teleconference every Tuesday. And I know that this is every Tuesday more and more people are joining and uniting in prayer, even though we are all in different parts of America. I couldn't attend all the Sundays. In the beginning, I tried to attend few Tuesdays, but after that, because of my busy schedule and a lot of other activities involved in the diocesan center, I couldn't attend this teleconference. Today, today we have completed 1 year of this prayer fellowship. I believe you all benefit for your spiritual growth and spiritual nourishment through this prayer fellowship. 1 year we have completed, and I know that you're all getting vacation in this in the end of this month and within a few weeks you are all getting vacations. And I wish you all a very, very blessed vacation time, and use it fruitfully, and use it for the betterment of your spiritual and academic and all types of your abilities. And I wish you all the best, and I appreciate once again the effort of all the archons, especially Dijwachan, who finds time and initiate for this program. And thank you so much. God bless you. I hope you all will communicate this program with all your friends, so that everybody throughout our diocese, throughout our North American region, can have a good time, and we can all unite in through this prayer, and see, and hear, and learn the word of God. May God bless you all. Thank you.
The prayer before the reading of the Holy Gospel. Grant us, O Lord God, the knowledge of your divine words, and fill us with the understanding of your Holy Gospel, the richness of your divine gifts, and the endowments of your Holy Spirit. And grant us that with joy we may keep your commandments, perform and fulfill your will, and become worthy of your blessings and mercies from you, our Lord and our God, now and always and forever and ever. Amen. This evening, I just wanted to share a few words from the scriptures, and if you have your Bibles with you, if you can open to the book of Genesis, chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. The book of Genesis, chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city, and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, "Indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down, and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, now and always, and forever and ever. Amen. I know for those of you listening here this evening and joining us for this prayer teleconference, that this is a very, very familiar passage to each and every one of us. I know many of us probably heard these even when we were children and are very much familiar with this story, the city, and the basics behind this passage. But as I was trying to prepare for this evening, this passage came to my mind just because I felt it's something that we can still relate to even over 2,000 years later. To kind of briefly introduce this passage, we all know that following the flood, that it was Noah and his family that was saved. And so Noah's family was increasing in offspring, and they were living together in one land. They spoke one common language, and they saw that they would soon have to scatter across the earth. They couldn't just simply stay in one place, because God's commandment was to go and basically spread across the nations. But before they separated, it was the offspring of Ham that attracted a few others and decided to build a city. Ham is one of the sons of Noah, as we know, the three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. So it was the offspring of Ham that attracted a few others and decided to build a city. And in the city, a tower in the form of a pillar that was reaching to heaven, in order to be glorified and not be dominated by this offspring of Shem and Japheth. When we think about this story, I think about, first and foremost, our own community and our own people. Think about even the very basics of just buying a home, for example. Many times, many of our people within our community are blessed with very large, spacious, beautiful homes. And there may be some that may be living in apartments or townhomes or duplexes that may not be at that point where they can invest in a home such as that. But immediately, there is sometimes this form of jealousy. Or I wish that I had what my neighbor had. Or I wish that I had what he had, or I wish I could have more than what he had so that I can outdo him. And that's kind of like the basic gist behind this story, if you think about it. It's kind of like, how do we outdo one another? Here, amongst these offsprings, amongst these brethren, we see that they were trying to build a city and a tower in the form of a pillar reaching to heaven. What more could one possibly do than reach to the heights of heaven? The funny thing is, this project that these people had endured on actually displeased God. It actually displeased God more than it actually pleased him. And what was happening is that evil, in a way, was kind of spreading. And it was at that moment that God saved them by confusing their languages so that no one could understand one another. And thereby, they were forced to abandon this project and scatter into the various lands. I just want to highlight a couple of points. The first, the people were looking for union with God through physical means. A physical link is what they were looking for. I know here in this passage, a lot of times we know that they were looking to be even greater than God, but we can use this as an image that union with God is not through a building or even a project to the moon. So many times it's so interesting for me how scientists and astronomers and so many people that try to learn, our goal is to try and fly to the moon and figure out everything that we need to do to get there. But so often, I feel like many of us, we don't even know how to live on Earth. We have pretty much learned the equivalent of zero about how to live our lives on Earth. There are still many people who are absolutely confused or do not even know their purpose of life. They feel like they were just born into this world and now it's just my life. And because I was born, I live the way I want it. I think one thing that we have to remind ourselves is that we are the created ones, not the Creator himself. We are the created ones, but not the Creator himself. See, the Creator, that is God Almighty, created us for a purpose. And that is to become in union with him and communion with him. And the entire gospel, if you look throughout the entire scriptures, it speaks about the love of the Creator towards his creation. It is God revealing himself to us and showing to us the ways in which he wants us to be in union with him. And a lot of times what we do is, rather than following those ways, we follow in the footsteps of Satan. And by doing so, we continually fall from grace. So brothers and sisters, what I want to remind us of is that union with God is not going to be through the external physical means of this world. It is through our soul and basically at the heart of hearts of where we are in our spiritual lives with God. And all of us may be at different points. I know some of us feel like, oh, I just wish I could pray like that person, or I just wish I could just pick up and read the Bible and just understand it and be able to explain it to other people. And then there may be others who just maybe are struggling through addictions or various forms of struggles to the point where they cannot even seem to motivate themselves to find spirituality within them. I think as a reminder, as we always say, is the church is a hospital for sinners. And this is an opportunity for us to evaluate and to relink ourselves to the church rather than to the external physical means of this world. We come back to the church where we can find union with God because the church is the bride of Christ. The second point that I kind of wanted to point out was many people wonder, why did God go and confuse their languages? But in fact, we have to understand that the confusion of the languages was actually a great act of mercy from God. evil was spreading in that city as people communicated through a common language, and more people were being attracted to this evil desire. And it was at that moment that God intervened. And people eventually will return and learn humility and return to Him and His purpose. See, a lot of times, I think, where numbers increase, evil deeds and conflicts often multiply. And I think what we have to remind ourselves also is that a Christian cannot think of the expulsion from paradise without thinking of the remedy, which is the Holy Cross. And in the same way, just like we cannot think about the expulsion from paradise without the remedy, which is the cross as well as the resurrection of Christ, likewise, we should not think of the confusion of tongues without thinking of the remedy. See, there in the city of Babylon, languages were confused. But many years later, when the coming of the Holy Spirit took place on the day of Pentecost, there a new purpose was found. And there, though several tongues came upon the apostles, they were able to understand each other and be able to communicate the gospel to the nation. So we see the remedy that takes place on the day of Pentecost, regardless of what took place in the city of Babylon, specifically during the Tower of the Babel. The last point that I kind of wanted to make was, pride only destroys. Even if you look at the word pride, it's a five-letter word, and at the center of that word is the letter I. Everything is about me, myself, and I. And there's a lot of consequences to this type of self-centeredness. Even if we look at the gospel, St. John the Baptist reminds us, he must increase, but I must decrease. See, one thing that we have to remind ourselves is that we are not here to try to alienate ourselves from God or from other people. We have a calling that is divine, and we are called to be part of that. And what we need to realize is that how we can bring each other together for a common purpose, for a common good, but for the glory of God's kingdom. We don't want to attract other people to our evil ways or to the ways of Satan or to the ways of this world. We want to attract people to a common purpose and a common goal, which is to spread the gospel and mission of Christ. I think that's something that we must strive to achieve in our day-to-day life. So here, as we reflect on this passage, I just wanted to challenge each and every one of us to go back and read this passage one more time, and to remind ourselves of the presence of the Holy Trinity, even at this point, over many, many, many centuries ago, and how that applies to our life today. We're looking for union with God through other means when, in fact, we have the church that provides everything for us. And I hope and pray that we will be able to lead and guide ourselves and use and come to the church as a way for us to draw closer to Christ and become in full union with Him. To the glory of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, now and always and forever and ever. Amen. Unto our Lord Jesus Christ be glory, thanks, and blessings for His living words to us. Unto His Father who sent Him for our salvation, and to His living and life-giving Holy Spirit, now and always and forever. Amen.